Hello, everyone, and welcome to the National Geographic Society program, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader. I'm reading articles published by the Geographic Society in April of 2025. Bear with me today. I have a bit of a cold, so my voice is going to sound just a little off today. I'll begin with this article titled, Archaeologists Found Another Egyptian Royal Tomb, But Who Does It Belong To? By Tom Metcalf. The discovery of the tomb of an ancient pharaoh, the second report in as many months, leads a recent spate of archaeological finds from Egypt and casts new light on a formative period of the civilization along the Nile. In December and January, a team of American and Egyptian archaeologists excavated the roughly 3,600-year-old tomb near the Abydos archaeological site, on the edge of the desert west of the Nile and about 20 miles northwest of the modern city of Luxor in southern Egypt. Egypt's Antiquities Ministry announced the find in a Facebook post last month. But the name of the pharaoh who was once entombed there is unknown, as are many of the details about the dynasty of kings he belonged to. Egypt was broken apart into multiple rival kingdoms when these kings were ruling, says Joe Wegner, an Egyptologist at University of Pennsylvania, who led the expedition. There was a lot of conflict and turmoil. One of Egypt's oldest cities, Abydos, was a center for the cult of the god Osiris, a synthesis of different Egyptians' beliefs about death, resurrection, and kingship. The modern name comes from a Greek version of the ancient Egyptian name Abydidju. A royal necropolis, from the Greek words for the city of the dead, was established near Abydos in about 1839 B.C., with the burial there of the powerful 12th dynasty pharaoh, Senusrit III. But Egypt soon fell prey to factional rulers. Early Egyptologists evacuated Senusrit's tomb at Abydos in 1901 and 1902, but the site was abandoned to the desert sands a few years later. In the mid-1990s, however, Wegner's team started a new phase of excavations at Abydos, as well as making new investigations of Senusrit's tomb. They've discovered the tombs of several lost kings, including the tomb of the pharaoh Senebke in 2014. All belong to the same dynasty that ruled at Abydos, and their tombs date from the final phases of the royal necropolis there, roughly between 1650 B.C. and 1550 B.C., Wegner says. A troubled time in Egyptian history. This was the end of the Second Intermediate Period, a very murky period in Egyptian history, when many kings survived only a few years after taking the throne, Wegner says. The Nile Delta and most of Egypt north of Abydos were ruled at this time by the Hyksos, a foreign dynasty from the east, while most of the south was ruled by pharaohs from the ancient city of Thebes, a center of worship of the creator god Amun. Little is known about the lost dynasty that ruled at Abydos during this time, and it seems only Senebke was recorded in the traditional lists of ancient Egyptian kings. What archaeologists found in the tomb. The newfound tomb at Abydos is a little older than the Senebke tomb, and it may have been for one of his ancestors, although the title of pharaoh did not always pass from father to son. The structure now lies beneath 20 feet of sand, with limestone walls cut into bedrock and a vaulted ceiling of mud bricks. No human remains were found in the tomb, and so no ancient DNA studies will be possible, Wegner says. The tomb's location, massive size, and hieroglyphic inscriptions written in plaster on bricks at the entrance to the limestone chamber identified it as the resting place of a pharaoh. Those inscriptions invoked the goddesses Isis and Nephthys, but the name of the king entombed there could not be read, Wegner says. Massive buried ruins fit for a pharaoh. The newfound tomb is much larger than Senebke's tomb, which suggests it may have been for one of the dynasty's founding kings. It was extensively looted by tomb robbers in antiquity, and so now no grave goods, sarcophagus, nor mummy remains, but what survives hints at its lost splendor. I think it would have been a very richly equipped burial for this period in ancient Egypt, Wegner says. The architecture is quite impressive, so I think it probably attracted tomb robbery relatively early, and probably multiple times. The tomb's architecture and its decorations deepen the modern understanding of funerary practices in this very ancient and sacred cemetery, says Anna Latifa Murad Sizek, a historian and archaeologist at the University of Chicago, who was not involved in the discovery. Mysterious rulers from a chaotic time. The find will help Egyptologists better understand the second intermediate period. This discovery is highly significant, says Murad Sizek. It adds to a very limited body of evidence on the rulers of this region and on a fascinating period when Egypt was controlled by competing powers. The second intermediate period came to a close around 1550 BC, a few generations after this unnamed king was buried, and perhaps soon after Senebke ruled. It ended with the expulsion of the Hyksos and Egypt's unification under the Theban pharaoh Amos I, who founded the 18th dynasty of kings and Egypt's new kingdom, a prosperous age that lasted almost 500 years. Wegner says that Egypt had somehow navigated this time conflict and internal fragmentation, and so the second intermediate period was the key to understanding how the new kingdom developed. He also hopes the newfound tomb will lead to the discovery of tombs of other early pharaohs from the lost Abydos dynasty. We're pretty sure that there's more of them, he says. The previously found Abydos tombs seem to be in two main clusters, and this seems to be in an earlier cluster. Sacred Royal Tombs. Yale University Egyptologist Nicholas Brown, who also was not involved, noted parallels with the discovery of a royal tomb of Thutmose II earlier this year. That was the first royal tomb found at near the Valley of the Kings site since the 1922 discovery of King Tut's tomb, although any treasures from the latest tomb there have yet to be discovered. Brown says the royal burial ground at Abydos was a precursor to the Valley of the Kings, which was established in the first stages of the new kingdom. We see this pattern throughout Egyptian history, with families of royals establishing their own sacred burial sites, he says. Brown is currently leading excavations at Deir el-Balas on the banks of the Nile, about halfway between Abydos and Luxor, where Theban kings may have launched some of their military campaigns against the Hyksos further north. It is going to be very interesting to see how this all fits in with what we thought we knew about this period and the different factions that were ruling throughout ancient Egypt, he says. And that completes the first article. The title was Archaeologists Found Another Egyptian Royal Tomb, But Who Does It Belong To? By Tom Metcalf. This next article takes us from ancient Egypt to outer space. The title, Astronomers Just Found a New Treasure Trove of Galaxies. They could help answer our biggest questions. By Robert George Andrews. A space mission designed to create a three-dimensional map of the universe has just released its first treasure trove of data. And it's breathtaking. Galaxies of all shapes and sizes seem to be swimming about in a dark cosmic ocean, one peppered with strange circlets of starlight and erupting supermassive black holes. The team behind Euclid, the European Space Agency telescope in question, has an ambitious goal: to understand the hidden forces gluing the cosmos together and tearing the universe apart. To accomplish this, Euclid's going to spy billions of galaxies over the next 6 years, and scientists will use these observations to discern the amorphous nature of the fabric of reality. Already with just 7 days of observations from 2024, Euclid has found a staggering 26 million galaxies, along with a host of hundreds of additional bizarre astronomic features. It's absolutely mesmerizing, says Carol Mundell, an astrophysicist and the European Space Agency's director of science. This is Euclid's first major salvo of data. Scientists who are only just beginning to pore over the images it has taken are starstruck. The first human reaction is how beautiful they are. They take us out on a journey to the deep cosmos, says Mundell. But what has created that is exquisite engineering. Here's how the space telescope's elegant technology, with some assistance from artificial intelligence, is allowing scientists to shine a light on the dark universe. What mysteries could Euclid's data solve? Two of the biggest questions in astrophysics relate to the nature of dark matter and dark energy, which make up 95% of the universe. What exactly are they, and why do they affect the cosmos in the way that they do? The former refers to an as-yet undetectable form of matter that keeps galaxies and their stars more tightly bound together than gravity alone can explain. The latter is an unseen force that's making the expansion of the universe accelerate, though recent measurements of the cosmos suggest that dark energy may be weakening over time. Scientists cannot currently directly detect dark matter or dark energy, so they are doing the next best thing, charting the shape of the cosmos by studying the shapes, motion, and positions of many of its galaxies. That is the grand purpose of Euclid, a European space telescope named aptly after a Greek mathematician dubbed the father of geometry. Launched in 2023, it sits in a gravitationally stable part of space nearly 1 million miles away from Earth. While there, it will ultimately study one-third of the entire sky, while repeatedly zooming in on three specific patches of it, known as the Euclid Deep Fields, and as a result, find billions of galaxies. "Each galaxy is beautiful," says Adam Amara, an astrophysicist and the UK Space Agency's chief scientist, "but we didn't design Euclid to produce pretty pictures. We designed it to do hard science. Ideally, telescopes have wide fields of view, so they can see big patches of the sky. High-resolution vision, so fine details pop out of photographs. And high sensitivity, so even the faintest, most distant starlight can be detected. We can usually choose two out of those three, and for the first time ever, Euclid is giving us all three," says Mundell. "I think that's the real power of the telescope." A Different Universe Toolkit. Euclid's galaxy-hunting prowess comes down to just three tools. The first is its 4-foot-long telescope, whose mirror captures distant starlight before a prism-like filter splits it into visible and infrared light, passed on to two specialized devices. One is the visible instrument, effectively a very sensitive camera with a 600-megapixel resolution, 50 times better than many contemporary smartphones. Thanks to a very wide field of view and the ability to take extremely long exposures of deep space, it can spot billions of galaxies at remarkable distances, clearly revealing their shapes and idiosyncrasies. Euclid has already taken images of several times more sky than Hubble did in 25 years, says Mike Walmsley, a machine learning researcher focused on astronomy, and Euclid Consortium scientist based at the University of Toronto, Canada. The second device is the near-infrared spectrometer and photometer, another ultra-sensitive camera that captures infrared light and can, among other things, measure how distant galaxies are from Earth. And when overlaid atop Euclid's visual light images, scientists hope to generate a three-dimensional map of the universe as they get more data. It's really the combination of these two instruments that allows us to then test dark energy, says Valeria Petrino, a physicist and the European Space Agency's Euclid's project scientist. The universe is 13.8 billion years old. Euclid's technical wizardry allows it to see galaxies that formed as far back as 10.5 billion years ago. That means that Euclid is not only a dark universe detective, says Mundell, it's also a time machine. What kinds of galaxies did Euclid find? Among the millions of galaxies that Euclid has documented are a suite of far-flung quasars, galaxies whose supermassive black hole cores are dazzlingly bright. Euclid's images are so sharp, about 5 times sharper than from the ground, that we have a totally new view of galaxies, says Walmsley. Other phenomena in Euclid's data that cosmologists obsess over are gravitational lenses. Sometimes when something massive, Say a galaxy with plenty of dark matter sits in front of another more distant galaxy. The light from that distant galaxy is warped around the foreground galaxy, as if focused by a lens. This process is known as gravitational lensing and can reveal distant galaxies that would have otherwise been invisible, even to telescopes like Euclid. In rare cases, the ancient light that warps around the foreground galaxies can form distinct light fixture features known as strong lenses. Before Euclid, and after decades of modern observations of the night sky, about 1,000 strong lenses had been identified by astronomers. In a few days, Euclid comes out and finds 500, just like that, says Amara. That's mind-blowing. Euclid's image of a galaxy called NGC 6505 captures an example of a strong lens called an Einstein ring, where the light forms a circle around the distant object. These powerful lenses are thought to be great ways to understand dark matter, as the light's contortion can hint at how much as yet imperceivable dark matter is present in the foreground galaxy. Amara expects it to find hundreds of thousands of strong lenses over the next 6 years, along with many examples of weak gravitational lensing. Using AI to navigate an ocean of galaxies. The sheer number of resplendent astrophysical objects overwhelmed the Euclid team. Once we've got over that sense of wonder and magic and just breathtaking awe, then you start to think. One astrophysicist can't interrogate millions and millions of galaxies, says Mundell, and that's where AI has come in. Artificial intelligence programs are very good at recognizing patterns. One such program, named ZooBot, has been deployed to help Euclid scientists classify galaxies. Recently, around 10,000 human volunteers were presented with images of galaxies, then asked to filter them into boxes based on their shapes and features. ZooBot was then trained on this data and then unleashed on Euclid's week of observations. It would take about 150 years to look through every reasonably sharp galaxy in the new set of Euclid images, says Walmsley. But at lightning speed, ZooBot has categorized more than 380,000 galaxies based on their shapes, sizes, and features. There is considerable more to come, and Euclid is already delivering. We are receiving more than 100 gigabytes of data per day, says Petterino. At the end of 2026, we have to release 1 year of observations for a total of more than 2 petabytes, which is the equivalent of 31 years of you watching TV with the best video streaming. The author, Douglas Adams, once famously wrote, "Space is big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big it is." And that remains true. But Euclid is turning this expansive void into a technicolor canvas brimming with galaxies. There's only an infinite amount of sky, says Amara, and we're starting to fill it all in. That's the end of the article. The title was Astronomers Just Found a New Treasure Trove of Galaxies. They could help answer our biggest questions, by Robin George Andrews. And with that, the program is ended today. This has been the National Geographic Society program, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. It's been my privilege to be your Sun Sounds volunteer reader today. Thank you for putting up with my compromised voice today. I'll assure you that if you tune in next week, I'll be back to normal. I've been reading articles published by the Geographic Society in March of 2025. I hope you enjoyed the program. Stay well, stay safe, have a wonderful week, and keep listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with its premium programming. And if you missed a program you'd like to hear, go to the sunsounds.org website, click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then click on Demand Podcasts. You'll find a list of programs there. Hopefully you'll find the one you're looking for. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today.